Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Should we take acid on the pod and record it?
Yeah, okay. Episode 150. No, I fucking won't.
I will.
Yeah,
is that
you
the
can.
Intro? Is that the intro to the episode?
Yeah. He's like, music is the same. And so a dimension, music is another dimension. And I'm like, what?
So if you change the vibration of yourself, you can go to a higher dimension. Okay, 2 seconds. I'm going to get absolutely ready for this one. I'm going to roll straight in.
You're listening to
No, I'm going to do it.
I'm going to finish my fucking Yorkshire tea by the time you're ready.
Welcome to Weird Tales and the Unexplainable. We're back with Sacred Geometry Part 2. Brilliant. My hosts...
you're the host.
My hosts... my co-hosts. My co-hosts today are, as always, the lovely...
This is Bob Shoy.
And the lovely...
This is B.
And the lovely Tiss. So, what are we saying?
Mate, one, it's your episode 2. That was the most disjointed intro.
When I've edited it together, it'll be really smooth. Yeah. So, what we got?
So, where were we last time?
Oh, good job you did your research.
I listened to it again today.
Oh, did you? To get in the mood?
Yeah, well, also, I felt like I needed to listen to it a couple more times just to try and... familiarize myself with it again. So music, we were looking at the music.
Have we
geometry
even said,
of music.
This is Sacred Geometry Part 2. Have we even said that?
Yeah, he started off before he introduced the show. He said, hello, this is Sacred Geometry Part 2.
Wow, at least as it's Part 2, it's no one's first episode. So they know what to expect when Tiss hosts.
So
give us some crazy statement about sacred geometry to get us psyched into the mood.
Recap.
So last time we were talking about Flower of Life.
Yeah.
Talking about creation. This one we're going to delve into different dimensions.
Right.
And you know what? If I play...
Dimensions. What?
Like...
As in like parallel universes and stuff?
Yeah, yeah. Parallel dimensions.
What? And sacred geometry is proof of that?
Sacred geometry, yeah, can map this. It's hard to explain. It's all about frequencies and higher dimensions.
Try and get DNA man back. And,
Yeah. Mr. DNA is going to explain.
Mr. DNA is going to explain everything. Yeah, he does a really good job because I watched a bit of this video yesterday and it was just like, bam. It really smashes it.
The fruit of life.
So we're back on the sacred geometry documentary that we were watching.
Yeah.
With the last episode. And I know some of our listeners actually went on to the new website, weirdtalesandtheunexplainable.com, and watched either part or all of this documentary. You really sparked a lot of interest in this subject. So we're going to learn a bit more from it right now. The fruit of life.
According to the Egyptians, this is one of the holiest, most sacred forms in existence. Of course, we already learned one of its informational systems in Lesson 6, and what you just saw was the second, only in reverse order. What this means is that all of the information of music, harmonics, sound, and spirals come out of this image. Not only that, but light and the dimensional levels work in the same way as harmonics, meaning that the geometric information about light and dimensions are also related to this star tetrahedron pattern. So what you just saw was the second unraveling from the third rotational pattern of Genesis, the geometry at the heart of creation.
Just going to pause it there a second.
Yeah.
You with it?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
You?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Now we can start talking about dimensions. These wheels are some of the oldest symbols known. The only places that they've been found is on the ceilings of certain very old Egyptian tombs. They are always found in sets of 4 or 8, and nobody knows what they are. Even the most famous Egyptologists have no idea, but this is actually proof that the Egyptians not only understood the flower of life, but they lived it. Today, I'm going to show you what these wheels meant, and in future lessons, we will go over the details of this unraveling.
Every time there's a shape, I'm just going to try and explain what the shape looks like.
Okay.
For people who aren't on the blog at the same time. Basically, the image he's showing about the wheels, it just looks like a spoked wheel,
spoked
right?
Wheel,
yeah, it looks like a four spoked wheels together, or 8 spoked wheels together.
Mm-hmm.
That's it, in like a 2x2 grid.
Yeah.
For the record, the unraveling looks like this. Yeah, it's a doozy.
Describe that.
Just loads, just loads of circles and stuff.
Slice off
the unraveling. Or if I can't explain these images will all be on the blog at Weird Tales and the Unexplainable blog.
And actually, we've had quite a lot of hits on the blog recently.
Because it's new.
Because it's new.
Yeah, well, it's the same old blog. It's just got like a fresh lick of paint with the proper website.
Mm-hmm.
So on the walls with these wheels are drawings of 7 people with animal heads. They're called neeters, and each of them has an orangish-red oval above its head. This is called the egg of metamorphosis. The neeters are showing us a time when we go through a certain stage of resurrection, which is a rapid biological change into a different life form. Not the average type of resurrection, I know. As you can see here, they're changing directions 90 degrees, and in doing so, they're changing dimensions. See, the dimensional levels are separated by 90 degrees. Musical notes are separated by 90 degrees. The chakras are also 90 degrees. It's a number that continually appears. Probably at this point we should get a common understanding of what dimensions are. Like third dimension, fourth dimension, fifth dimension. What are we talking about here? Most people think of dimension in terms of time and space, the X, Y, and Z axis, with time becoming the fourth dimension. This is not what we are talking about. What we're seeing as the various dimensional levels has more to do with music and harmonics than anything else. A piano has 8 white keys from C to C, which is the familiar octave, and in between there are 5 black keys. Together, this creates what is called the chromatic scale, which is 13 notes, well, actually 12, with the 13th being the first in the next octave. So from one C to the next is really 13 steps, not 8. This also correlates with the 7, 8, and 13 chakra system I mentioned in lesson 2. Keeping that in mind, I want to show you a sine wave. Sine waves correspond with light and the electromagnetic spectrum and the vibration of sound. We're all very familiar with this. In this entire reality we're in, every single thing is based on sine waves. There are no exceptions to this except for maybe spirit and void. Quantum physics and quantum mechanics looks at everything in the reality of one of two ways. You can look at anything, like the computer you're watching this video on, to be made up of tiny particles like atoms. Or you can forget about that idea completely and look at it as a vibration, a waveform, such as electromagnetic fields or even sound. If you look at it as atoms, the laws can be seen to fit that model. But if you look at it as waveforms, the laws can be seen to fit that model. Both of these systems come out of the flower of life, one being the one we just looked at, fruit of life to Metatron's cube and beyond, and the other being this beautiful mess of a picture. Just looking at it hurts my head. Everything in this world is a waveform, or can be seen as sound. All things, your bodies, planets, absolutely everything, are a waveform. If you choose this particular way of looking at reality, and then superimpose that view over the reality of the harmonics of music, we can begin to talk about dimensions. The dimensional levels are nothing but different base rate wavelengths. The only difference between this dimension and any other is the length of its basic waveform. It's just like a radio set. Turn the dial, you pick up a wavelength. It's the same with dimensions. If you were to change the wavelength of your consciousness, and in doing so change all of your body patterns to a wavelength different from this universe, you would literally disappear out of this world and reappear in the one you were tuned in. It's been theorized that the base rate wavelength that we're currently living in is 7.23 centimeters. There's a few reasons for this. In a spiritual sense, the 7.23 wavelength is Om, the Hindu sound of the universe. Maybe that's why Oming is such a powerful tool in meditation. Not only that, but if you were to take 100 people and measure the distance between their eyes, the average length is 7.23. Same with the distance from the tip of our chins to the tip of our noses.
I just want to get your reaction to that.
I'm currently thinking of when they meditate in the office.
Oh, right.
And Michael asks Meredith to like close her legs.
Right, yeah.
Oh my god, check your legs.
I thought you were...
Oh my god, if you're going to do this again.
I thought you were shaking your head because he was like, our universe.
Mm.
He sort of lost me a bit. He did that thing again where he gets a picture of something. In this case, he got the keyboard, picture of a keyboard.
Yeah.
And then, like I said last time, he just slapped some maths over it and went, see?
Yeah.
And I'm like...
I don't feel
in
like
in my brain, I'm like, oh, yeah, yeah, I get it. And I don't. Like, how is you putting that wavelength picture over a keyboard to make that real?
There's two things which I'm struggling with. Mm. One... it's like he's too trigger happy on the PowerPoint. There's so many images, I haven't got time to look at one and fully grasp it before he's on to the next.
But he just links two things and expects you to go like, "Yeah, well, I get it." But it's like,
so before we started, and he was looking at like everything he comes to, he's like, "Look at that."
Yeah.
And then I feel pretty stupid for not getting it.
Yeah, he's like,
but he's not
music.
Showing his work in. He's not showing.
He's like, music is the same, and so a dimension music is another dimension. And I'm like, what? Yeah. Did I miss something? And then he says, okay, so the 7.23 centimetres.
Yeah.
Where did that come from? It was something to do with 7.23 centimetres. And that's what the universe we're living in now is measured as 7.23 centimetres.
So phi?
No. Phi we did last week. He just said something about 7.23 centimetres.
Yeah, yeah, it's found in... the hand.
Yeah, no, now he's saying it's found in the body, but that came from nowhere. He was like, yeah, the universe we're living in is 7.23 centimetres because of the thing I just said. Also, it's the average distance between people's eyes. I was like, what? What's that got to do with anything?
Yeah,
because that's...
geometry. He's like, it's the average difference between your nose and your chin.
Yeah, yeah.
And the average difference... that doesn't have any... that doesn't have anything to do with what universe I'm living in.
It does.
Well, so if I went into universe B where the number was 9.2, would everyone's eyes be 9.2 centimetres apart and everyone's nose, their chin be 9.2 centimetres apart?
Yeah.
But wait a minute.
Can you imagine going to universe like metre? It's like pie face.
Yeah, but, okay, so is he saying that, so all the spaces stuff between your nose and your chin and your hand and all that other stuff, that's all linked to do with the geometry of the universe. And but that's not true. Is it? Because everyone's face, like,
it's
all different.
He said the average.
Oh, okay, right. Oh, he said average.
Yeah.
Okay. Is it? I don't know. Do I need to... I feel like I need to measure it now. Because my hands are pretty small.
Is that
what it's supposed to be?
7.23 between
from the middle of your eyes, where your pupils are.
I think
is
so.
It? That you've got that right. It's about 5.5.
Oh, narrow head
from pupil to pupil. What's mine?
Hang on, do yours. I've got a weak chin though, that's why I've got a beard. What?
What's all coming out?
A weak chin.
You got to be fair from.
Yeah, but my chin's
going
actually
from,
here.
Am I going from the bottom of your nose?
I don't know. Is it bottom of your nose?
I don't know.
What about if I push my nose up?
I didn't make up the rule.
Well, you just fucking did, apparently.
That's how we go.
Oh, wait, whoa, look at my hand. 7.5.
Like 8.
7.5.
See, I've got quite wide hands, quite wide palms, but my fingers aren't very long.
7.5, mate. 7.5. They're all like 7.5. We're in the wrong universe. we all came over from 7.5.
Right, look at my eyes. So.
That's about...
It is like 7.23. Oh, wait, is it supposed to be from here to here? Like, because if it is...
that's too long.
Oh, no,
that's
too
like
long.
10 centimetres. I think it's from pupil to pupil, which yours would be like...
6.5?
6.5, yeah.
Boom.
Boom.
Bang him.
What's boom? We've not proved it. We've proved that it's 6.5.
Well, I thought that if this is all true, so this... if this all the distances were true, which would stay, let's say, for argument's sake, it is, that means that we can predict what aliens would look like, because if they're this dimension.
What if we know what universe, what dimension they're in, which universe?
Yeah, if they're in this, if there's intelligent life in this universe.
But we could only know their dimensions, so you wouldn't be able to know. Is that what you mean?
Well, you're saying predict what they would look like. The same width as part as us, because they're in our dimension.
Well, they'd have to follow the same rules as our universe.
Yeah, but what if... well, not necessarily. Surely
they would.
No,
because that's what we're saying.
That's what he's saying.
No, in this universe, though. Not in different dimensions. This universe.
Not interdimensional beings.
No. This universe. Aliens from this universe.
Yeah.
Just like normal.
But you were saying on another episode that some aliens, we don't think openly enough about what aliens would be like. They could be like
a
mushroom with a brain.
Yeah, no. No, but I'm saying...
you genuinely said that.
But that could be interdimensional. That could be interdimensional.
Oh, right. Oh, because it's by the rules. It's references.
Riddle rubs.
Riddle rubs. I'm saying if we do take this at face value.
Right, which we
then
are. Which for the sake of argument, we should be able to
predict what aliens would look like if they're from this universe.
Yeah?
Yeah, because let's...
What do you think an alien looks like?
I don't know.
Same eye width apart as
mushrooms.
You. Its nose to its chin's the same as you.
Humans.
And its hands spans the width of you. But everything else, it's all up for grabs.
No, because they've got to follow the fire, haven't they?
Oh, right. They have to have the segmentation of the body relating to fire, which we learned about last episode.
It's all related to fire, yeah.
I was trying to explain fire to Becca. And when I tried to explain it to her,
but how,
it was like I got it.
But how do they know that every species on the planet... Have they gone through everything?
We can't say that that's what aliens look like. They look like us because they abide by the same rules. Because a dog, his eyes aren't 7.23 apart. And a fish isn't.
No, fish, you can find phi in everything.
No, we're not talking about phi. We're talking about the 7.23 thing.
Oh, no, but I'm saying phi.
Yeah, but you're saying we could guess what an alien would look like because it would be 7.23.
No, levels. Forget this. I mean phi.
Forget it now. I mean phi.
Sounds fishy to me.
Yeah. Oh, a centipede. Its eyes are 7.23 centimetres.
I'm getting...
that'd be terrifying. Imagine the size of them.
I'm getting battered over it. Fish. I love that. I just say it.
We don't mean to hurt your soul.
I was talking about phi.
That's a fish.
It's fine. Let's move on. For God's sake. Stop carping.
Come on, let's carry on.
This 7.23 length is located throughout our bodies in various ways because we are emerged within this particular dimension. There's another reason as well. Bell Laboratories found this wavelength when they were setting up the microwave system around the United States. They found static in their system because they chose a wavelength just slightly longer than 7.23 for their system. In order to get rid of the static, they did something that we as a planet are still suffering from. They upped the power 50,000 times over what we would normally need, which created a very powerful field, so that the 7.23 wavelength would not interfere.
Wait a minute. How have we got... Hang on, I feel like we've jumped.
Yeah, this is what always happens.
So, we were just talking about space, and now we're back to waves again.
Well, he's saying that it's all the same thing. It all relates. Okay. I feel like if anyone's listening to this who actually knows about his stuff, we've gone silly this week.
Oh, we're going
to
get bothered.
Which is mental, because last time we were drinking, and this time we're not. It's like you understand more if you've got a beer in your hand.
Okay, right.
Yeah, go on.
Sorry. It's for those reasons that I believe 7.23 is the wavelength of our dimension. As you go up in dimensional levels, the wavelength gets shorter and shorter, with higher and higher energy. As you go down in levels, the wavelength gets longer and longer, with lower and lower energy, more and more dense. Just as with a piano, there's a space between the notes, so that when you hit one note, there's a very definite place where the next note is. In this waveform universe we exist in, there's a very definite place where the next dimensional level exists. It's specific wavelength relative to this one. Most cultures in the cosmos have a basic understanding of this and understand how to change between dimensions. However, because of certain events that happened on Earth 13,000 years ago, we have all forgotten, but we're about to remember.
Is he about to go into... What are certain events that happened 13,000 years ago?
I don't know.
You've seen this
five times. He's just making things up then. He's like, something happened 13,000 years ago.
Yeah, but he's probably going to say it in the future because he just always goes, oh, but we'll get back to that later.
Right.
He fucking always gets back to it later. The end of the video is just a whole load of fucking answers.
Yeah, it's like an hour of appendices.
I feel like he doesn't want to blow his beans too
quickly.
Because
of certain events.
Yeah, that happened 15,000 years ago.
Right.
So if we show each note in the chromatic scale as a circle, we have 13 circles. Each circle represents a white or black key, and the shaded circle at the end would be the 13th note that begins the next octave. This circle here represents the third dimension. This is where we are, and this circle next to it would be the fourth. We talked about channeling, and this is typically where channeled beings are. This is also where you explore when you are astral projecting or lucid dreaming. You'll notice now that the musical system goes upwards and downwards forever, octaves over octaves over octaves. Theoretically, this is how the universe goes too, an infinite spectrum of universes in both directions going upwards and downwards forever. I mean, come on, we thought our universe was big, but everything in our universe, as far as we can see, well, that's just this one dimension. You may have heard people talk about 144 dimensions and how 144 relates to other spiritual subjects. This is because there are 12 notes in an octave and 12 overtones between each note. 12 times 12 equals 144 dimensional levels. To be specific, there are 12 major dimensions and 132 minor dimensions within each octave, though in truth this progression probably goes on forever.
Ah. Well, I pause to say, is he saying there's a finite number of dimensions? Like, there are this many dimensions.
It sounds like he says they're going to go on forever.
No, he's saying, actually, if you break it down and break it down, there's possibly it could just go on forever, the amount of dimensions. So what's the 13 bit about then?
I don't know how we've got from the notes on a scale on a piano to...
Okay.
The diagram we'd be looking at represents one octave. The 13th note repeats, and then there's another octave after that. I want to show you this. I was watching Ancient Aliens not long ago, and one of the natives who has communication with beings in higher dimensions told the man who was interviewing him...
that they have always been here. You are right here, where we're sitting right now. But you just don't see them. They're in a different frequency.
And no one really got what he meant. So that's kind of a fresh perspective on that. An apocalypse is a disclosure of something hidden from the majority of mankind in an era dominated by falsehood and misconception. We're going to be looking at another way that humans grow through Phi. Instead of looking at Phi inside the body, we're going to be looking at Phi outside the body and what it means for us in this pivotal point in human history. Do you remember the fruit of life? The first system created the platonic solids, which created structure throughout the universe. The second system was the basis of how vibration, sound, harmonics, music, and matter are all interrelated in all of creation. Today, we will look at the third system. The fruit of life will reveal itself in the process. We'll call this system the circles and squares of human consciousness. It is what the Chinese called circling the square and squaring the circle. Remember when we discussed the platonic solids in Lesson 6? I showed you that all of them will sit perfectly within a sphere, each with every corner touching the sphere perfectly. Well, there's one other shape that can do that. It's a characteristic that only one of the platonic solids have, making it special. It is the cube, which you can put every single platonic solid inside, and an edge or point will touch the inside of the cube perfectly. Through truncating the cube in different ways, you can create all of the other shapes. Because of this characteristic, it essentially means that the cube is like the father of all shapes. It is a male form. All levels of consciousness in the universe are integrated by a single image in sacred geometry. It is the key to space, time, and dimension, as well as consciousness itself. Each level is a geometric image or lens that spirit looks through to see the one reality, resulting in a completely different experience. In the case of humans, this image is the circle and square. This is what Leonardo da Vinci was doing when he drew this drawing, and I'm going to show you what this circle and square combination mean. If you put a circle inside a square perfectly, and then continue to put another circle and square, each with the same diameter, one radius away on all sides, going outwards, you get a drawing that looks like this. You'll notice that with the first circle and square, they fit perfectly within the other. This also happens with the second circle and square. However, then the squares begin penetrating circles. The male form begins interacting with the female form. Why is this important? Well, the circles and squares begin to equate the phi ratio. See, when the circumference of a circle and the perimeter of the square are equal, this equates the phi ratio. So as you can see on this diagram, on the fourth square and the fifth circle, it begins to create the phi ratio. It's close, but not perfect. It's only a 0.6 difference. I'm measuring in radii, by the way. The inner circle has a radius of 1, so it's 2 radii across. The next is 4, and then 6, 8, 10, and so on. So the one we just looked at makes a close phi ratio, and then it moves out of sync, staying out of sync for a bit, and then bam! Again, it moves into yet another phi ratio. This time, the difference is only 0.52, even closer to perfection than before. This will continue on forever. If you were to continue this drawing outwards to infinity, each time it would go into sync, drop out of sync for a few circles and squares, but then eventually hit phi again closer than it did the last time. Right now, there are three primary levels of consciousness that we are going to be talking about. They are essentially who we were, who we are, and who we will be. We'll call it the first, second, and third, so that it's easy to understand what we're talking about. The ancient Egyptians were very concerned with these three levels as well, and much of their culture was based on this information. Each of these levels has their own geometric lens too, which look like this.
How?
Like, how do I know, like, he keeps saying this was important to the Egyptians, and they're not telling us why? So he says, this is important to the Egyptians.
We'll but he doesn't have all the time to fucking tell you everything. He's got to take it at face value.
But I can't.
I don't want to show you working.
Yeah, I'm sure he will show his working. What are you,
it's like, okay, every now and then he'll say something, mm-hmm. and I'm like, oh, I'm getting this bit. Mm-hmm. And I've started to follow for a little while. And then maybe like another 30 seconds will pass, and I'll be like,
"What was that thing?"
Yeah, I'll be like, "Oh, well, I haven't been taking this in."
Yeah,
and then I don't know what you're talking about again.
This is why. So you're going into Phi, and then you go back out of Phi.
Yeah, but you have to give it to us in layman's terms.
Yeah,
what do you think?
Because when he said about the circles and squares,
yeah,
and he said, "Oh, it's creating Phi," and after what I understood from Phi last week, I was like, "Oh, I get it." I get it, it's creating Phi. I get that. I'm seeing that. But then he started saying it goes in and out of it. I'm like, why? Because it's not Phi then, is it? It isn't Phi regular.
No. As you come out, the circles They keep going in and out.
Yeah, but surely you could find Phi in anything then. You could be like, well, if you skip that one and that one and that one, it makes Phi.
Yeah.
But you skip, what about the ones you skipped? Yeah. But they don't make Phi if you put them in. Yeah. Right, so you can erase stuff to make Phi in anything.
Yeah.
I could take a bite out of an apple and chuck it on the side and take a bite out of another apple and keep chucking them on the side. And if I just take out that apple and that apple, if you look at all the others, my bite marks make Phi.
Yeah.
Well, what about the apples you didn't include? Yeah, but it doesn't make Phi if I put them ones in.
Yeah.
Well, so is it Phi or not?
Yeah.
Well, I can make it Phi. Well, that's cheating.
Yeah. I agree. I think it's...
Not that I'm, like, bringing him down. Like, I feel like I'm being way more dismissive this week than I was last week.
Yeah.
But last week was, like, the basics of shapes. So I could look at shapes and be like, oh, that's interesting. Oh, that shape exists in the world. Oh, okay, yeah, I can see what he means there. Oh, yeah, this animal was segmented in that way, and so am I, and this world is, and all that. I could see it.
Mm.
Now...
I can't see it as much.
My puny human brain...
Mm.
My uneducated mathematical brain can't
see
it as simply.
Do you want to skip to consciousness shift?
Go on then.
Yeah.
We are going to skip through this because we're already 30 minutes into an episode. But as we said last week, I'm going to put a link to this film on the blog so you can take it from it anytime you want. But I think me and Beef are going to take a rule now that if it starts losing us... We're going to assume it's losing the audience as well, so we'll hit stop, discuss, and decide to move on to the next.
And I'll be honest, it doesn't take much to lose me anyway. So,
but if one of us can understand it, we can help the other one understand.
Yeah.
That bit, neither of us will just...
No.
Several years ago in New Mexico, there was a convention of geneticists from all over the world with the main topic of discussion being DNA mutations. Scientists acknowledge that we are changing, but the end result, they do not know. Through sacred geometry, we begin to actually see where we could be going. With 12 strands activated, you have 10 times as much information available to you than you do with just 2 strands, as we do now. Not only that, but the 12 strands work in sync with the 12 chakras, providing an immense amount of energy into the body. We are about to become super beings, enabling us to understand and do things that currently seem paranormal, bizarre, or downright impossible.
Right.
From the article, The Bigger Picture by Suzanne Thorpe-Clark, we are being changed physically from carbon-based beings to crystalline-based beings. This is interesting because I've actually heard this from various channelings now, ascension and transformation into crystalline at our core. First the psychics were telling us this, and now we have science backing it up.
Yeah, just stop it a second.
Yeah.
I like this. But the 13 and stuff, that's going back to the numbers again.
12.
Yeah. And 13's a transitional.
Mm-hmm.
But he's saying, what's he talking about DNA in this case?
Yeah.
So what's he talking about DNA. 12 strands of DNA?
Just before that was about DNA mutations.
Right, okay. So they think that human DNA is mutating.
Yeah.
And when it does, we're going to enlist in Professor Xavier's school.
Cool.
It's the beginning of Christ consciousness.
Ooh, that sounds sacred.
That's what it's called.
Sacred geometry. But if that happens, if he's what he's saying is right, if our DNA strands mutate into 12 strands, which is this sacred number, then we will mutate, obviously, because our DNA will change, so it will change humans, and we'll become X-Men.
X-Men, yeah.
Okay.
Apparently.
That's cool.
Right. Sounds good.
What do you want?
What superpower?
I like that he's turning the mic. He's like, oh, this could go on.
Okay.
This could be a bit of a detour. No, what superpower would you like?
My superpower. Okay. Let's start with what superpower you think you already have.
Ooh, okay.
Because my superpower is I can fall asleep on a plane before it takes off.
Yeah, that's true. We've watched it.
Before it takes off.
I've seen him snore through takeoff. While everyone else is being pushed back in their seat, he's just being pushed further back into dreamland.
Yeah.
That is my superpower. Yeah, I can fall asleep almost anywhere.
I thought he was actually going to say something quite spiritual then, because I believe my power is.
He was
going to say something really intense.
No, he just got a load of drivel.
What's your superpower?
What you can do that no one else can.
Or, what you think that is just special, that's just fucking, you're in your locker, you're just like, bam, I can fall asleep on a plane before it takes off. So straight up, I'm going to fall asleep. And I did. And you guys were just like...
I like that you can go straight to something straight away that's unique. I can't think of anything about me.
Yeah, but falling asleep on
a
plane...
I can't think of anything trivial enough.
I can fall asleep in other places.
Fall asleep on a plane, which is difficult for anyone, before it takes off. Wait a minute, that is the trick, though, because if you fall asleep before takeoff, Then you don't have to worry about all the pressure and stuff because you have to deal with it properly.
Yeah, but people are always excited to go home.
That's cheating, isn't it? Try falling asleep after it's taken off. That is bloody difficult.
But I don't want it.
I hate sleeping on a plane.
Yeah, it's awful, isn't it?
If I could choose my superpower, it'd be that I could fall asleep on a plane.
Yeah.
No, the obvious superpower. I don't know. Go on, what's your superpower? What do you want? What's the one you've got?
Okay.
I didn't add to that. Budget flights. Talking budget.
Yeah, budget
any
flights
flight.
Suck.
Any flight I can fall asleep on.
Do you,
not just like fucking all Virgin comfortable seat.
Do
I'm talking Ryanair.
Do Americans have budget flights the way we have budget flights?
Oh yeah,
really?
Yeah,
I feel like our budget flights.
I don't know. I had an internal flight to New York, and that was quite budget.
what? He's being a cheeky. He's in a fat joke about Americans.
Oh,
sorry. Obesity is actually striking the UK more now than ever before.
We're fat folks.
It's because we're fat.
See, what superpower have you got? Come on.
I don't know. I mean, what have I got? What, then no one else has?
No, just something that's good. That's a good power for you.
I don't know.
I can't think of one either.
I really don't know.
Mate, I don't think we're as developed as you.
Well.
But what do you want?
My strand of DNA is come early, mate.
Yeah.
What do I want?
When we become superhumans, if the only superpower you get is the development of your sleeping on a plane,
yeah,
that's fucking really
a short straw.
No.
And we get like telekinesis. And
what are you on about? All these mutants making loads of noise in the plane. I'm going to be fast asleep.
The thing that worries me about mutations, and I always think about this.
I've got mine. I feel like
it might be a bad power though. I'm saying, what do you want? But you could get something.
What I've
terrible.
Got is
about what, like fucking shitting all the time.
No, but like some people. Okay, so I'm going to use X-Men as an example.
Okay.
Nightcrawler.
Yeah.
Really popular character.
Yeah.
He can like teleport.
Yeah.
Around, like bamf around.
But didn't he turn into like a blue?
But he's like blue and like disgusting.
Has he got a tail?
Yeah.
Well, what's he worried about?
I'm saying it could be negative. It could be bad. Like Beast, super intelligent. But he looks like a big fucking beast.
Yeah, but he's still got looks.
Yeah. But yeah, what do you want?
I feel like I'm.
Is he that intelligent?
Yeah.
Is he really?
Yeah. Like he's real. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, he's clever.
Could he win the prize at the pub quiz in what's his name? You know,
quiz. Oh, I don't know about that. Quizmaster. He's got his mutation already to write the fucking most balls hard quiz.
Yeah, fucking hell. No one in that pub can ever win that.
No.
The superpower I do have is I can survive on very little sleep.
Oh, no, I can't.
Like, 4 hours of sleep a night, it's fine.
That's not healthy. A night.
That's loads.
That's loads.
A night for the rest of your life. You're supposed to have 8.
Nope.
So 2.
Apparently it's 6 to 8 now.
Yeah, it's 8.
Wasn't it a James Bond film where like one of the villains didn't have any sleep? And he went nuts.
That was Die Another Day.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
He taught.
I've never seen that.
Like, he taught Bond learnt in prison how to slow his heartbeat down enough so that like you wouldn't need any sleep. It's like a really deep level of meditation or something.
Mm.
So it would mean that your heartbeats are so few and far between that you always like you're dead. So I think it was like the Bond villain. I don't know. It was a shit film. I can't remember.
I've never seen that one.
It is genuinely the worst film.
I've seen the first like 10 minutes and that's
it. It's the worst. It's the worst.
It was the last Brosnan one, yeah.
But it's also probably the worst Bond film.
No, I've watched them old ones are shit, man.
Yeah, but they were shit. But they were in the 70s and 60s when films weren't that great anyway.
Every now and then I think I'm going to watch an old Bond film. I'm going to try one. And everyone I've watched is fucking shit.
Like what?
I watched. You Only Live Twice
Doctor
last
No.
year.
What's the one when the laser beam goes up his jeff?
Yeah, them old Bond films, they don't do anything for me. They're just a bit too silly.
What about when he pulls the shoot?
I watched You Only Live Twice, which is mainly in Japan. That's why I watched it. Because it was when I was going to Japan.
I'm
going to
be big and ballsy and say something which I reckon you boys are going to disagree with, but I watched the indie films again over Christmas.
Oh, so nice.
Because I was like, oh, I friggin' love Indiana Jones. Really bored of all of them.
Yeah, I watched them again.
Really bored,
and
like, these aren't as good as I remember them.
What's your favourite indie, though?
Holy Grail!
You mean Last Crusade? The one with the Holy Grail in it.
Indiana Jones and the Holy Grail.
It's my favourite as well.
Yeah.
Most people say Raiders.
What, is that where he gets the statue at the start?
Yeah, that's the first one.
No, that's not. I probably have to say Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. He's dodged.
dumb, you know what? Shit. It's got its moment. I don't hate it as much as some people.
Well, the new
one. It's not that much shit than the old ones.
It's just because Shia LaBeouf's in it, and you guys know how I feel about Shia LaBeouf.
That bit is bad. All the bits of him are not bad, I got to say.
I'll have to go on record and say I like Shia LaBeouf.
I like Shia LaBeouf, but then he's bad in that film, and I actually think he's a pretty good actor in the right film. But
yeah, he's a great actress.
Anyway, what superpower did you want?
I'd have to probably be... The thing is, I'm quite boring with it, so I'd be like, oh, I just want to be able to like teleport to another country for a bit.
That's boring. That's one of the best powers you could possibly... Probably quite boring. I'd probably just
teleport. But would you do it if you had to have a tail?
I'm not creative enough to think of like a brand new superpower or something.
Well, no, but not many people are. That's why there's not been many.
What about if your superpower was creativity? So you could think of...
Well, that's good.
Think of a good one.
Be endlessly creative. That'd be an amazing... You could make so much money.
Yeah.
Or like... I would love to be able to pick up any instrument and immediately be expert in it. That'd be good, right?
Some people have that power.
Imagine if your superpower was just to be happy all the time.
That'd be good.
That'd be fucking awesome, because you wouldn't even care what you were doing. You'd just be happy.
Yeah.
I'm in a ditch when I'm well happy. Who cares?
You might not even realise you got the power either. You might be like, I didn't even get a power, but I don't care. I'm just happy anyway.
Yeah. I didn't get a power, but I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Invisibility will be good.
Invisibility. When you're a 14-year-old boy, you want invisibility so you can look at tits.
No, I can look at tits on Google.
Fuck's
not when
sake.
You were 14, you couldn't. When we were 14, Google
didn't
do that.
Sun.
Sun.
This is soured.
Right, okay. Forget the powers.
Well, actually, we're going to be not forgetting the powers because we're going back into
them. Yeah, okay. Well, that's what we want, though. We didn't say we were in. I want teleportation,
right,
too.
So we...
Me and Beef are going to set up a delivery company teleporting together.
Yeah.
We're going to instantly deliver everything. No one know how we do it. We'll make so much bank.
Uh-huh.
The end.
Yeah.
Tis is going to continue to sleep on planes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Tis is going to be endlessly happy.
Endlessly happy and the ability to make him.
That's a really good idea.
That's cool. So our DNA is mutating.
And we're mutating.
To crystalline.
We're the new mutants.
Okay. When's this going to happen?
We are going through a shift. In almost every ancient text and Bible, it speaks about a great shift and awakening. The Bible speaks about the coming of Christ. This is interesting, actually, because Christ is the name of the third level of consciousness. I didn't just make that up. We are moving into Christ consciousness, which means not that Jesus is going to show up with a big A, but we are actually moving into the level of conscious understanding that Jesus had. It is the coming of Christ through the human species.
I want to know what you think about that concept.
Well, the biblical concept is that... the understanding that most people have is that when Jesus comes again... So you guys understand the second coming stuff?
Is that the rapture?
Well, it's not the rapture. Oh. People have read the Bible and assume that the rapture is God... Like taking all the...
It's like separating the wheat from the chaff, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But taking them away... But the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says kind of what he's saying there, where it's... the idea is that when Jesus comes again, the new heaven and new earth won't be like a new place. It will be the renewal of this earth to what it was created to be. So it will be Eden again, where it was perfect... Right. Perfect relationship with God, and the earth is vibrant and the way it was when it was first created. So, so when Jesus comes again, the idea is it won't be this rapture. There's not going to be this, like, weird...
So it could be this, like, higher plane of consciousness that we all receive. And then and that could mean, like you're saying, if the world becomes good again, from our heightened consciousness, we're like, right, we're making this good.
Which would kind of make sense, because it also says in the Bible that... in the new heaven and the new earth, there's no pain, no sorrow, no death, no disease, which is what people think of when they think of heaven, right?
So heaven will be a place on earth.
Yeah,
Belinda Carlisle. Number one when I was born, mate.
Yeah, I know. So
I love that like I bring that up all the time.
So if
mine was Madonna, like a prayer,
really.
Yeah.
What was yours?
To power tire in your hand.
Well, they're three songs you want back to back at your next disco.
So this, when he's talking about this higher state of consciousness, it could well be that, I know, in theory, it could be that he's saying it might be that our higher level of consciousness in the future might be that, you know, we know sorrow exists or we know death exists, but it's not something which bothers us anymore because we live on a higher plane of existence or something. Don't know, I'm just...
Mm. I was just interested because, I was interested in what you thought about
that. Yeah. It's kind of cool.
So higher strands of DNA. What does this really mean? The portions of the DNA chain that science has presently identified as the double helix represents only the surface portions of the chemical, elemental, and electrical components of the active DNA strands. Science has yet to understand the multidimensional spectra of DNA manifestation, though we are beginning to remember. The human DNA imprint will always appear from external analysis as a two-strand double helix configuration in three dimensions. What is not understood is that within the double helix there are, and will be progressively more, additional double helix strands which fuse together. As our understanding evolves into the multidimensional spectra, the understanding of the structure and function of DNA will progressively advance. A team of Russian researchers working with DNA started a project to progressively learn more about DNA by combining forces with linguists and have dived into the unknown of the 90% of junk DNA which we currently embody. Their findings are evolutionary.
Shit, I've not been listening. What did he say? I didn't listen for like 20 seconds and all of a sudden it's like...
the he basically showed like the double helix.
Yeah, yeah.
That makes up our thing. And he showed... It's actually good for the listeners anyway. He showed an image of that relaying over the... What's that first image? Something of life. Flower of life?
Yes.
Flower of life, yeah.
Flower of life and then five.
Yeah, the way that the double helix goes over flower of life, and then he's saying that the double helix could not just be the two strands, that within right. it, like, other two strands could form over the okay. two strands, right?
Yeah.
So then he's saying scientists actually started to, like, experiment with DNA and see where, how they can push it, to see what will happen, basically. Scientists are experimenting with DNA.
Okay.
Our DNA is not only responsible for the construction of our body, but is also used as data storage and in communication. They learned that the 90% of DNA follows the same rules as all of our human language. The way that sentences, paragraphs, and chapters work in a book is the same way that our DNA works. This is the first double helix strand, the one that Western science looks at, which is basically like a sentence of DNA. However, if you step back and see the bigger picture, you begin to see the paragraph. Stepping back further and you see the chapter, and so on. These larger and larger strands span through the different frequencies of reality, the different dimensions, which makes them harder to find in our modern science. Western science, instead of looking at DNA like this, we're cutting out pieces of DNA from here and adding them over here, which is similar to picking out words in certain sentences and putting them with other words in other sentences to see if they fit together and can make a new energy, a new idea. This is the nature of our junk DNA, of which Western science just didn't understand for the longest of times. The DNA isn't junk, it's just misunderstood, and also not as used right now because of our dense level of consciousness. However, we are beginning to activate and reawaken our DNA through our ever-expanding consciousness and our desire to know more.
So basically he's saying, like, within looking into DNA close up, scientists... they're almost doing what we complained about this show doing at the beginning, where they're like, okay, so that bit is that part of the human, and that bit of the DNA is that part, and that's what you think, and that's what your eyes are like, and don't know what that bit is, put that aside for now, that's nothing, I think it's rubbish, because they didn't know what it is, that's rubbish. And he's like, every now and then they come across a bit, they don't know what it does, that's just junk. That's right. Just like joining up stuff. It's nothing.
Okay.
Yeah. But like, but because we didn't know what it was, we think it's rubbish. But that bit's your eyes, and that bit's your thoughts, and that bit's your knees, and that bit's, oh, I don't know what that bit is, move it aside.
Mm.
He's saying, actually, all these bits that you put aside, if you put them back into where they should be and read it in the right way, they actually mean more than scientists think. He's saying there's no such thing as junk DNA, which is like a term that scientists have coined for these bits they don't understand. It's just junk. I don't know what it is. It's really just rubbish.
Okay, cool. Are we playing on?
The very awareness of this DNA is what is activating it. Awareness of our higher selves and our connection to the all and the interconnectedness to each other. We are directly connected to the earth as well and exist as a part of it, kind of like a child in its mother's womb. If anything happens to the mother, it creates an energetic imprint that affects the child. The earth is our mother, hence the name Mother Earth. Our morphogenetic field exists as a part of her larger morphogenetic field of the Earth. If something happens to the Earth's energetic grid, then we inherit these problems into our own grid. Our energetic anatomy is exactly like the Earth's, with chakras, meridians, axiatonal lines, and DNA.
What do you think about that?
Do
you think that the humans are that in tuned with the Earth as to be like... I don't know, like... an important relationship with the Earth, not just on what we do on it, but just in our inner being.
I think if I was to look at it biblically,
mm-hmm.
and from a Genesis point of view, which he's done numerous times throughout the video.
Yep.
It does make sense, yeah. Because Genesis tells us that creation is... that sin... so when Adam and Eve sinned, it affected the very being of the earth. Like, yeah, the way the earth exists, it affected everything. Mm-hmm. So it's implying that creation is all in one. That, yeah. So it does kind of make sense. I mean, I don't know if that's what he's talking about, but that's what I'm reading into it.
Tess?
Thoughts?
I really want to continue the video, because he gets to the really cool bit in a minute.
Do you want to get to the really cool bit?
In this particular bit.
It's just that this is where this sort of thing loses me, though. That's why I wanted to stop. Because I'm like, I don't think humans are in tune with the Earth.
No.
I think we just live on it. I think we are no more in tune with the Earth than bacteria. Probably bacteria is more in tune with the Earth, because it's actually affecting the Earth.
Yeah,
we only affect Earth if what we do.
I don't think we're in tune...
But we sprung from the Earth.
No, we sprung from a vagina.
No, I mean, like... originally.
Yeah, but that's like...
it wasn't like a huge vagina in the sky.
A dog didn't spring from the earth. It sprung from a female dog.
No, but I mean like...
nothing grew out of the earth's soil.
But where we came from, like where... if you go back and back and back and back.
Right.
So our body has to have...
do you mean...
some sort of...
as in like... to what? Creation story.
Yeah.
So that's... yeah, I don't know if I'd... I don't know. I haven't really thought about it, if I'm honest. I think that... there are certain things we do that have an effect on the earth.
Yeah, that's what we do.
Yeah.
I don't know how in tuned we are in our cause.
I'd say we used to be. I'd say we probably became too conscious and lost our connection. But animals certainly are connected to it.
Yeah, but because they...
because animals have like a natural understanding of how to look after the earth. They never... there's no other animal on this planet apart from us that destroys the earth in the way we do. They're all very conscientious to the ecology of what's happening. None of them fall out of ecology. None of them... do you know what I mean? There's so many animals in the world.
Yeah, but that's all because of them the other animals perfect. Haven't evolved to the stage that we have. There aren't 7 billion
other... but I think we're on like... I think
there's no species on the planet where there's 7 billion
bugs.
Of them.
How many ants are on Earth?
Yeah, but...
there's probably 7 billion ants.
Yeah, but I mean, like, okay. As big as us.
You know what I mean, though?
There's probably 7 billion ants in my garden.
Yeah. you can't...
I'd say we... oh, fuck no.
They haven't evolved, have they? So if we take evolution, for example, we destroy the planet because we've evolved to a stage where... we don't need the planet really to... our science has evolved to a point where we don't need the planet. Obviously, we need the oxygen and all the other, you know. But we've adapted our own ways of living. And we're separated from it now. So we separate ourselves from the environment. If it's raining, we don't want to be a part of it. We don't really associate ourselves with the elements.
If it's raining, we can turn the fuck off. We can go inside.
I have the same opinion as this, not the whole sacred geometry, but the earth and humans thing, as I have to a lot of things on this show, though. That's a lot of things we talk about where it's like, oh, it's a nice idea, but I deep down, if I think about it, I'm like, no, I don't believe it, though. It's like ghosts. It's a lovely idea to think there's an afterlife and you can talk to people, but I don't believe it. It's a lovely idea to think that when we die, we all go to a better place, but I don't believe it. It's pretty much everything we talk about, I'm like, I've come down the same thing. Nice idea, but no. And I want to. I wish I did believe it more, but I'm just like, nah.
Yeah.
Apart from aliens, they're probably real. They're not a nice idea, though.
I'd say that if anything, like, animals are more... not... we evolved, but that doesn't mean we're any better than them.
When I say we don't...
I'm not saying we're better than animals. I just think...
I think
it's a difficult thing to say, ethically, animals have a better... they're more conscientious
to the earth. But for all of our brains and all of our stuff...
because they need the earth more, don't they?
But the thing is, we do affect the earth. If suddenly all humans on earth died... that would affect the Earth massively. It would completely change the planet.
We're not any better off.
But that's not because of like us being connected to the Earth. It's because...
We're not any better off, though, are we?
Than what?
What do you mean?
Than animals.
You think we
are? Explain what you mean. Like,
well, we're... they're not worried about
that. For all of our things, for all of our
intelligence.
Everything we have. We can't solve anything like world hunger.
Well,
like
if people are too, if there's too much intelligence, there's a difference of opinions. And if there's a difference of opinions, then no one, there's no way that everyone on Earth can be happy at the same time because everyone has different opinions.
That's true.
Yeah, if you were to think of your perfect world, opinion your perfect world opinion would be different to my perfect world.
No, but I'd say, like, living in the wild, being an animal, the whole experience shapes you into this machine for living.
Mm-hmm.
Only a few.
Yeah, exactly. But maybe that's how it's supposed to be. Maybe it's supposed to be like, you know, when you go through hardship, you think, oh, fucking hell, this is horrible. Mm-hmm. But then when you come out of it, you're just like, I'm so much better off because of it.
Yeah.
Well, maybe animals have that from a day-to-day thing. How much hardship they go through per day, but then that fucking
yeah, but
strengthens
animals,
them.
Animals do the same thing that we do. If you watch, I don't know if it was the most recent series of Planet Earth, but they were saying the same thing, that the way animals create their homes, the way animals hunt and gather and all that kind of stuff has changed over the decades because they've learned new techniques. They've learned new ways of doing things. They've learned more efficient, safer ways of doing things. They've learned safer ways of hunting. Like, so they, like, wolves now hunt in bigger packs than ever before because they've well learned it works, it's faster. So they're doing the same thing that humans are doing. They're evolving in different ways. They're still relying and it's still a survival of the fittest and it's still.
But that's what I'd say. I'd say, like, we're not where we're supposed to be. We think that we're, like, super beings above animals, but I'd say we're actually the same as animals. But if Christ consciousness happens, then we'll be...
supreme.
Not supreme, but there won't be a need for supremacy because we'll be so in tune with the reality we're in, we can manipulate it to make everyone happy and make everyone whatever. It's just idealistic, though, isn't it? I mean, I don't know what's going on.
If you get Christ consciousness, then you might not need a need. There might not be a need for happiness. Like, you don't need happiness.
That's what I mean. Yeah, yeah. Mm. Yeah, yeah. Happiness is something you need when you have unhappiness.
I'm not saying I disagree with this. Like, when he's talking about us being in tune with the universe, to be honest, it's a concept I've not thought of before. So I don't have an opinion on it.
Do you think anyone on Earth has ever achieved, like, a higher state of consciousness? They think better than everyone else?
Most of the people that claim to have enlightenment or stuff like that,
yeah,
they don't need,
like, yogis.
They don't need as much. Like, you know, when people are so smart, they just go around showing it all the
this
time.
This is what
I do. This and they do that. The smartest people that I know are the ones that don't have to because there's just no need. Once you understand what life's about.
I've had, like, an awakening, more chilled. Literally, in the last month, I've had an awakening in my life.
Yeah.
But
has it chilled you out more, or is it made you want
to... I'm super stressed out now, because I'm in a transition state of, like, I want to strip my life down to this different lifestyle.
Yeah.
I want a more basic lifestyle. I want to achieve basic happiness, not base happiness, not baseless happiness and what people chase. I want a pure happiness. Of who I am and where I am and how I live. So at the moment, I'm actually more stressed out because I'm just trying to change my life, like, instantly, because it can't happen soon enough for me. I'm like, I know what I want now. I know how to be happy.
Yeah, yeah.
But then in stripping my life back from a life I'm in, not that I don't like my life, it's just like, oh, now I want this and I've got to get to it and now I've got to strip my life back. I can't remember the point I was going to get to. the basic happiness of, like, pure consciousness, whatever. Yeah, people who are enlightened
need to throw their weight around, is what I mean.
Yeah,
you know, when you think, oh, the smartest person alive, oh, what a smug bastard they'd be. Actually, I think they'd be really humbled because they'd understand that they don't know anything as well. I genuinely think that the meaning, or whatever people say is the meaning or the reason or whatever of life, is just so simple that if you found it out, you'd just carry on doing what you're doing.
I want
because
pure freedom and no complication, no exit. Not saying I don't like people, because that's crazy. I said that a million times on the show, but I just want to be left to my own devices and be happy in it and not fill my life with things and belongings.
Yeah.
But I think what I've learned over the years is that
it's a simple life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's what I've learned over years is that that is what my faith gives me. I don't have a need to... This why, you know, when we're talking about current affairs, obviously it affects me, but I don't look to that for my happiness. That, obviously, whilst it affects me, I look to other sources for happiness.
Mm.
And I guess I'm not dependent on... My career isn't where I find my happiness. No. I'm not... You know, I just think... So many people strive for what they think is a perfect existence, for like more money, but
they
house,
chase the wrong directions. They chase what the society has taught them it brings happiness, yeah, without actually sitting down and thinking, this is what I've been doing.
I spend so much time with students just saying to them, like, and it's obviously a difficult thing in a school because you're like, they're like, oh, I feel like a failure. Like, well, what? Why? Well, because I'm not getting A to C's. Yeah, but are you trying your best?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. What can that bring you? And it's, you know, I don't know. I just feel like I've known too many people, like, just, like, go into crazy depression because they, like, have a really high-powered job, but it's not giving them happiness. It's not what, you know, and I, Rachel's always said this, that since I've stopped working in an office, I'm a much happier person.
Yeah, I agree.
And I'd rather have less. I took a big pay decrease,
mm-hmm,
and I'm way happier.
Yeah. Everyone in the world, listen, we're all saying it.
Mm.
Chase happiness and don't think that your career and all the things that society is telling you is going to create happiness in you.
Yeah, you have to sit and think
what will make me happy.
It sounds cliche, but you're the one that shapes.
Yeah,
your
I'm only
destiny,
just really
future.
Getting this. I'm only just really understanding this. Like,
mm,
there are ways to be happy. That's just what you choose.
Mm.
And so fuck it. We're doing cliches. You only live once. You only live twice, according to that Bond film I watched earlier. But you only live once. So, you know, why fucking just chase something because you think it's the thing to do if it's not actually? If you sit and think about it, what makes you happy?
Hmm.
And this has been a really off-topic tangent, but
it's good. It's good tangent.
Interesting. It feels like a discussion episode.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Right.
Do you want to continue to this? You say this is building up to something that you've been waiting for.
Get to the orgasm.
Get to what we're waiting. What you're excited for?
To fit the model of the Higgs boson too. I could be wrong. It's just an idea.
Nah, fuck knows. He just goes off in tangents. I don't know what.
I thought you said you were anticipating it getting to something in particular.
Yeah, no, it never came. I don't know where it is. Pretty much it was all about higher dimensions.
Right.
I think we've heard most of the meat
earlier.
Are you
disappointed that me and Beef didn't jump into the higher dimension stuff?
Yeah.
I was more interested in the consciousness stuff, which we heard like the bulk of.
Consciousness is cool. Higher dimensions is cooler.
Okay, give us a rundown of the higher dimension stuff that really.
Well, no, it was just cool that it was like vibrations. So we're vibrating on this frequency.
Yeah.
Higher dimensions are. So if you change the vibration of yourself, you can go to a higher dimension.
Right. How do we change our vibrations?
Fuck knows.
Is it going to be one of our superpowers we can get?
Yeah. I want to change my frequencies to go between dimensions.
Oh, that would be a pretty fucking cool power. You said you can't think of a good power. That's a good one.
Yeah, but I had to think.
Imagine if when you die, you just start vibrating on a different level and then you just into another.
What about your cadaver that you left behind?
Another dimension. Well, it just stays behind, doesn't it? I remember, I don't know if I told you this.
Because I'm thinking when you say vibrate, I'm thinking your whole body vibrates into disappearing.
Did I tell you about the time I took acid?
Yeah, we talked about it on the show.
On the pod?
Yeah. We talked about it on the episode of Lauren.
Okay. Did I talk about when I said that I could have just let go and it was...
Yeah, you said you were barely clinging on to an idea of what reality was.
This is why, I tell you what, you'll never do it. But I tell you what, take two tabs of acid and then tell me if you don't believe in life after death. You could fucking try.
Oh, me and Beef will take one each on the show.
Trust me.
I already believe in life after death, so I don't need to.
Trust me, you will understand that this reality that we live in is not all there is, and that there is not just nothing. Honestly, it's just, I can't even explain it, but it's just like...
No, I believe there are other dimensions.
No, but that you, whatever you are, not Bob, that's the egoic mind that you've got.
Right.
Same as Tierce and Beef. Like you, your
not those guys.
Spirit the person who's listening to Bob Fink.
Yeah, I feel like I'm having an intervention.
Yeah.
You know,
he's getting you ready for it.
You know, whenever you think,
right? That's like, okay, I'm thinking now. Right,
who's listening to that?
Myself.
No, but who's talking then?
No one.
What? No, but who's talking? So think something.
Yeah.
Right.
What did you think?
Who's listening?
No one.
No, because you heard it.
No, I didn't hear it.
You thought it, though.
If a tree falls in the woods, does anyone hear it?
No, when you think it, you're thinking words, right? You're thinking English, surely.
Yeah. No, thinking Spanish.
I don't understand my thoughts.
So who's listening?
When
so,
you think, do you think in full sentences?
My brain's nuts. The way I think is really...
Your brain's nuts?
Is crazy.
So
it's,
your
it's
brain...
Like, it's
so,
like my body is enclosing a crazy person in its head, and I have to stop it. To think of things.
There you go. That's my point exactly.
I can't sleep.
That's my point exactly. So there's two. There's two. There's the egoic mind and there's you. Now, you are not Bob.
Right.
You are consciousness, pure consciousness.
Right.
Bob is the character that you play in this version of reality that you're living in.
Right.
So, and this is what, this is the insight you get.
This is what I don't want to just... Gives us his rundown, his own thoughts, his own.
And then
he's using the same, like say you're just putting different words to what I understand.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah,
because it's the right. Same understanding. And that's what it is. Is your well, you can say it anyway. You're like the universe. When you take your consciousness back to source, we all come from one. We all came from one.
Well, it's like
pure
it's
consciousness.
The antenna and the receiver thing that we talked about.
Yeah, yeah. So that can't die. Infinity exists.
Does it?
Yeah. It mathematically exists. So if it exists mathematically, it must exist actually, because otherwise infinity would end. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. The phi ratio is infinity.
Yeah. So if it exists in maths, that means it must exist in practice, because otherwise it wouldn't go to infinity. It would go to... And then you'd say, right, well, that's the limits of existence. It will go to that.
Mm-hmm.
But it won't. It will go for infinite. Right. So your energy... Our collective energy will be infinitely going forever. And in an infinite amount of time, you're telling me that there's never going to be a time where you manifest again as a person in this reality.
No, I said this before on the Life and Death episode.
Hmm.
My energy, I agree.
Yeah.
Like.
So Bob will die.
Yeah, no, I agree. The energy that is my, air quotes, soul. Spirit,
yeah,
the energy that is my being, which isn't my body, like I said, the crude matter, Yoda, he says. But my energy, because it has no vessel, will dissipate and
no,
become
the vessel is run by the energy, doesn't contain the energy.
But that's your thought. That's what you think.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But I just think I said about energy transference in anything. Like, you think of the old, what you learn in school when you're doing physics, the classic example they give you is a light bulb.
Hmm.
So you put energy in with a battery, and it does, you know, 80% of its energy comes out in light, 20% comes out in heat. Energy is always starts and ends the same amount of energy.
Hmm.
Right? Energy doesn't go anywhere. There's a fixed amount of energy in the universe.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
It just transfers in different ways.
Just goes somewhere
else.
So
the energy that is my being...
Will transfer to something else.
Will transfer into the universe as other things.
Yeah, yeah.
But not as a consciousness.
But in an infinite amount of time, it
could become like dust.
Yeah. It could become dust, grass, a bottle box, a bit of metal, a particle in titanium, back to human. Infinite amount of time. Infinite amount of time. Eventually, you're going to hit
the
human
same
again.
Consciousness. What are the chances that the same fragments of that consciousness that created my thoughts that time could ever come back together in the same way? It'd be like a bit of this consciousness, bit of that worm, bit of that dog.
Yeah.
It creates unique consciousness every time. I'm saying the vessel you live in your lifetime is a unique consciousness for that go around.
No, because you could be made up of the dog, the worm now.
Probably am.
That's why...
That's
we're all a little bit crazy, yeah, because there's a little bit of dog in all of us.
Can I...
Whipping
dog backwards is God.
There's something I want to talk about now, but I sort of want to save it for another topic.
Mm.
When we talk... Okay. I'll bring it up now, because it's fucking nuts.
Should we take acid on the pod and record it?
Yeah, okay.
Will you do
150.
It?
No, I fucking won't.
I will.
Yeah,
is that
you
the
can.
Intro? Is that the intro to the episode?
Yeah. Tis on acid.
Well, I was going to save it for if we ever did an episode about regression.
Okay.
Because regression is something I think is kind of kooky, kind of nuts. And I'm actually in contact with someone who does regression. I'm trying to get them to do the show, but they don't really want to. But that's when you go into a past life, right?
Yeah.
So that's a past consciousness as someone else, another being, yeah. Right? Well, so you've been other people.
I'd say, I don't know, the way I see the world is like, imagine you get a light bulb and then you cover it with a globe of darkness. And then you poke a hole in it and there's a light coming out.
Right.
And you say, that's Adam. You poke another one. That's Bob.
Right.
That's Beef. And you keep poking, you keep naming them.
Yeah.
And they're all separate entities. But the energy behind them is the same energy that is blowing through them.
A huge consciousness.
Yeah. It's just, we're all the same consciousness.
Right, okay. So when we die, we just go back to the collective consciousness.
Yeah, we are the same consciousness.
Okay. All right, okay. Can I tell you my weird thing about regression then?
Okay.
I have vivid memories and have all my life
of
running on four legs.
Okay.
I know what it feels like to run on four legs.
There you go.
Really?
You used to be a dog.
This is more like fast. It's more like, not like a cheetah, but that sort of movement.
But if my theory is
I've only just realised this recently, by the way.
Yeah.
This is why I wanted to do a regression episode, because I wanted to talk about it.
It's like something you've always felt and you've never been able to put in words, and you were like...
You know when you don't realise something that you thought your whole life? My whole life, I used to think about when I was a kid, I used to run on four legs. Obviously, that's mental when I say it out loud. So when I actually said it out loud recently, I was like, well, hang on a second, no, I didn't.
I used to run on four legs. Not all the time. It was well funny, though. I used to bump into stuff. Sorry, carry on.
Yeah, so I thought, oh, yeah, when I was a kid, I used to run on four legs all the time. And I was like, no, I didn't. I haven't got four legs. And I just realised this recently. I'm like, but all my life, I've thought about when I used to run on four legs. And I know the feeling of it. And I know how it feels.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't demonstrate it. Like, it's like I know exactly how to do it because I've done it.
Yeah.
But I couldn't demonstrate it because this body can't do it.
Yeah.
That's weird, isn't it?
That is weird.
But I don't believe in that.
Well, if my theory is correct...
So it's like the ghost thing. Like, I've seen ghosts, but I don't believe in ghosts. So where does that leave me? I don't believe in past lives and regression and stuff like that. But I have a memory of a thing that isn't me. And a vivid conscious memory of, like, numerous occasions of it, of that life.
With the whole regression thing, though, like, I think, you know, when people always say, oh, you used to be Napoleon or Joan of Arc, and it's like in Peep Show when he's like, where's all the, you know, Egyptian scribes and the Victorian chamber pot guys? Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, no one's ever a fucking pauper. Everyone's always, like, a famous person.
Well, that's because it's like Hollywood regression on, like, This Morning.
Yeah, yeah. Like Danny Dyer was
the
like
only time
the king
I've ever
of
seen
York.
Regression when it's like on This Morning.
So, but if my theory is correct, then we're all everyone ever. So when you regress, you just regress to whoever you'd want to be anyway.
Okay, maybe you can link into any being that's been alive before.
Yeah, because you were.
Could you link in someone that's currently alive now?
Probably.
So I could go into
you're the universe, man. You could do anything.
I could get into the regression bed if we were like there together.
Yeah,
and then I could go under and see myself laying on that bed because I'm looking through your consciousness.
Yeah.
That's weird.
That is weird.
This episode is really...
It's
really...
not sacred geometry.
No.
See, I think of it like the energy of us is like you're trapped in this body. It's like a bad fucking trip.
Right.
Because imagine you got trapped in the body of a total, like, you know, real, like, nut job.
Serial killer.
Just someone who has fucking horrible thoughts all the time.
Right, okay.
Just constantly, like... upsetting them, just constantly in a state of like anxiety and fucked up. Imagine that. That'd be horrible. But that isn't them. Yeah. That's like their pure energy is like pure. It's just the egoic mind that you. I don't know where the egoic mind would be. Maybe in the brain, the body somewhere. Maybe attached to fuck knows. Maybe it's a side effect of being in reality.
Right.
You have to grow an egoic mind to. Survive, fuck knows. Tangent.
So it doesn't really matter what we do?
No.
Nothing matters?
Nothing matters and everything matters.
What a
That's
cough
not
out.
An answer.
What a cough out, isn't
That's
it?
Not an answer.
No.
Because the thing is, I've trapped him.
Nothing
sometimes
matters.
Sometimes he's like, you know, you have to be a good person, you have to like, everything
you don't have
you
to
do
be a good
be
person,
positive.
You should be a good person.
But at the same time, he's saying nothing matters because we're all just one of the consciousness anyway. So I'm going to kill everyone, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So why even bother?
But it would matter.
Why?
Because you killed people.
Yeah, but their consciousness isn't going anywhere. They're just going somewhere else. That's just a vessel. It's nothing. It's dirt. It's mud.
The cool... I don't know what's going on, so you haven't caught me. But something that I love that Alan Watts says, which is like, imagine if you were this all-power, almighty universe.
Right.
And you could do anything.
Right.
And you could dream up anything you wanted. You could do anything you wanted to do. So one day you dream up doing, you know, whatever. And then you keep dreaming and dreaming and dreaming until one day you dreamt up every day leading up until this existence. Imagine if what you're experiencing now is just a dream. It's just the universe playing. It's just thinking about stuff. It's just thinking about this and just following it on like a thought. You've had a thought that just evolves and evolves and evolves, and you're like, fucking hell, how did I get to that? From, you know, I was thinking about chairs, and it just ended up thinking about...
Like this episode.
Yeah.
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 I was meditating last night, actually, and fucking hell, it went on such a tangent.
Yeah.
Like, I started off trying to think of something, and then it played out like a whole story. Must have been for like... Well, the story was like at least 30 minutes in length of content, and it just happened, and I just come out of it like fucking hell. Like, it just...
Who needs TV?
It's mental. Yeah, who needs TV?
On that note... You know what's driven me off on this tangent more than anything?
Yeah.
Is I was thinking, oh, what's our next discussion episode going to be? Because I know we've got one coming up.
Is it? Soonish.
And I was thinking I wanted to do consciousness.
Yeah.
So I had all this consciousness stuff in my head. So when that came up, it like triggered this consciousness thought I was having.
Mm.
And I feel like the second half of this episode has just been a mini consciousness discussion episode. Mm. Like, now we don't need a consciousness discussion episode in like 3 weeks' time or whatever.
Not in 3 weeks, no.
Maybe we've got a discussion episode weeks. Due in like a month.
Maybe after you do the acid trip.
Maybe not, yeah. Maybe
I would love a discussion episode about what life is about. Then you take acid, and then we have another discussion 2 weeks later.
Now what's
that? That would be fucking awesome. Email in if you want Bob to take acid. Hashtag Bob takes acid. Hashtag Bob takes acid. This won't even make the cut of the episode, will it?
Why? That'd be so good. You told me it was the worst thing of your life.
No, because
I didn't want to take it before you said that.
No, it's not the worst thing of my life. It's the worst experience, but it's the best thing you can possibly do.
Becca,
how can it be both?
This is why I'm saying that animals...
This is trying to start a hashtag, Bob takes acid, because he wants me to take acid on the show.
Would you take acid?
Would you take acid on the show?
I've taken acid. I would take it on the show.
On the show?
Well, I'd lose my shit, but yeah, sure.
I don't want you to.
I wouldn't like go crazy. I just
start a freak show.
I just wouldn't be able to, get it out. It's all about...
Yeah, but you wouldn't be able to leave our house for like days.
Yeah, for at least a day.
No, I don't want that.
I think we've got other topics up our sleeves.
Yeah, that's when we're really running out of ideas.
Yeah,
like, we would never get through the list we've got, and acid would be at the bottom of the list.
Also, if you're on acid, is the whole show just about being on
It's just
acid?
Us describing just drooling.
It would be more, actually. It would be do a discussion, then you take acid, not on the show, just in your own time, in your own comfort, home, setting. Probably on your own, actually. It's good. Like, on your own, I think.
Sounds awful.
And then do a discussion episode after to see how much you've changed your opinion. Because for me, it's different. For me, it would just be like, oh, it just reaffirms.
You're winning me round, actually, to the idea.
Yeah.
But what I think we'd be more interested in is hashtag beef takes acid.
Beef
takes acid. Just trying to pass the buck away from me.
Definitely. Would you take acid?
No.
Oh. Becca?
I don't need to take acid. I'm already happy with my existence. Oh. Why did you take acid? Tell me exactly why you felt you needed to take acid.
I didn't need to. I wanted to.
Why did you do it?
A lot of people...
Because you're saying, you're making it, you're insinuating...
A lot of visionaries have taken it.
Yeah, you're insinuating that we need to take acid.
I don't need to.
So that we get some kind of like revelation about...
No, it'd just be good content for the pod. You don't need to. It'd be great. I think it would genuinely... I don't think you'd enjoy it. I think you would enjoy it. I know you would.
It's too fragile to even contemplate.
Nah, you're talking...
Mate, I can't even smoke weed anymore.
You can.
I can't. No. The last two times I tried to smoke weed, I freaked the fuck out. And that was fucking weak marijuana.
If you took...
My brain can't handle intoxicants.
You get fucking...
I can't drink even. I can't get drunk.
Really?
My brain cannot handle...
Don't take acid then.
Thank you.
I've just got this idea of you as Superhands stood over us, tripping our nuts off.
Pretty much. Nah, I don't know. I think you'd be fine, but...
My brain's, like, nutty enough without having to, like, water it.
Do you think that's... Do you think that's your egoic mind trying not to let go? Trying not to...
Maybe. Yeah. So, consciousness will not be the next discussion show because we basically just did it.
I wish that I'd done the discussion before taking acid and then after. Because now it wouldn't make a blind bit of difference because I've already got my own views from it. It wouldn't change anything.
I don't think it would be good for a discussion show. Because whenever you try to tell us about...
Not on acid. Or,
no, but after acid after. Now...
Yeah, yeah.
You can't explain to
us. It would take me a good 6 months to integrate it and then tell you about it. But
yeah, that's what I mean.
It takes fucking ages.
It's too long.
How long ago did I... How long did I go to Bristol? It must have been...
It was a long time ago.
November.
I'm you said still you had getting a terrible stuff weekend, now. But you went to...
I'm still getting stuff now coming through that's like, oh, that's what that meant. Oh, that's what that meant. It's nuts. It's like the gift that keeps giving. It's fucking horrible to begin with, though. But you've got to do it.
No, you don't have to do it.
It's like a hip operation. It's good for you.
It's not. I don't need one. I don't need it. I don't want it. Like, but if,
I'm joking. Don't take it.
If acid is going to give me some kind of like epiphany,
I'm going to cut a lot of this.
I don't need an epiphany.
I'm going to cut a lot of this acid talk.
Yeah.
What's this episode become?
Mate,
do we have to apologise to the listeners?
I feel bad, right? Because you, I think you had this. You had some stuff you wanted to talk about. Dimensions.
I didn't. I. The video parred me off. At the start, it was really... The video was really good.
I thought you'd seen this like five times and you said...
You guys didn't run with it. The Egyptian stuff was really cool.
You thought
about the different Egyptian deities being different dimensional beings.
Oh, right.
And the Vesica Pisces being on their heads.
You know, listeners, guys, if you do want to hear about that stuff, maybe we weren't in the right frame of mind for it tonight, but that documentary will be on the website. I'll put a link to it.
Yeah.
And it is a really interesting documentary.
Yeah, I love it.
And now that we've... finished.
I feel like
it,
we should have done it. I feel we should have tackled it in the last one and just done an extra long one. Because coming back to it kind of was like, there wasn't much sacred geometry in this one. It was more dimensions.
Yeah. Well, you thought we was going to run with the dimension stuff.
Yeah.
And we didn't.
We didn't.
And then we ran with the conscious stuff, which you weren't prepared for. And then it turned into a consciousness discussion.
I'm always prepared for a consciousness discussion. Always.
Okay, it was interesting anyway. This is like when we tried to do weird news and it ended up actually being an episode about the media.
Oh, yeah.
This is like that all over
again. Wasn't that me and Kanye?
Yeah. Anyway, you done with sacred geometry?
I'm fucking done with sacred geometry, I'll tell you that.
Final thoughts.
I'm confused.
I'm joking. I'm still looking into it.
Because I thought you said you've seen this documentary five times, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like there was other stuff you wanted to talk about that you were like, in a minute...
It wasn't, no.
And then, no?
It really it was. Not? It was the consciousness, Christ consciousness. It was the
Which
dimensions.
Which was cool. I liked that. I thought that
was It was
really
mostly
cool.
Different dimensions. That really, like the vibrational properties of this reality being different to others, which means the dimensions could layer on top of each other, but just different vibrations. That's why we can't see them. You can't see, you know, like you can't hear a dog whistle. That's a vibration. It's a very high vibration.
I thought you meant a dog trying to whistle.
You can't hear that either. Or they just don't do it.
No, the Christ consciousness stuff was interesting. I liked that. Yeah. And
that was
consciousness
good.
Stuff was cool.
Yeah. I liked the shapes last week as well.
I think it was a good episode.
I don't know what it is.
It's just us talking shit, which is just
it's
the
not,
same
it's
as every other episode.
It's not us talking shit. We're talking about stuff that's topical, just not...
No, I mean, like, we always talk shit anyway.
I've got something very different next week.
Is it Weird Tales?
Is it unexplainable? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's different to... I think we've had some quite heavy subjects recently. Especially like last week, we did the Holocaust Denial episode.
Yeah.
Which is a pretty heavy subject. But we had such amazing feedback from everyone. So everyone who got in contact this week said they enjoyed that one. Because I was, you know, I thought this might not be for everyone. Like, as much as I enjoyed doing it, I was like, well, you know, we'll see. But, you know, people really liked that. So that's really cool. Like, I love it when we do something different and then the listeners still just, like, go for it. They run with whatever we put out there now.
It wasn't too somber, though, was it?
No.
It's nice.
And it was really interesting. So thanks for everyone who got in contact with that for that one. Next week, I'm going to be going in a completely different direction again.
Awesome.
Yeah, I haven't done any research for it yet. I just know what I want to look into this week. So we'll see what I've got for you next week. And then the week after that, we've got a pretty special episode.
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah, we're not going to promote it yet in case it all falls through, but it'll be a treat.
treat for the eyes and treat for the ears.
Yeah, might be putting some video up for that one. So everyone's been asking for us to do video pods for a while. Maybe there'll be a little bit of video for that one as well. So we done?
Believe so.
Where can people contact us, Tis?
www.weirdtalesandexplainable.com.
Well, that's the email. That's the website.
All the information's on there.
Yeah, yeah. It is all on there. Yeah. You can contact us on there. You can find our Twitter stuff on there. And you can send us an email about anything, recommendations, weird news stories.
Literally anything.
Anything.
We will answer.
Whatever. Yeah, I always reply.
Bob will answer.
Yeah. Sometimes I get a backlog and I'm like, shit, I better reply to them emails.
I see messages and I'm like, I don't want to reply just in case me and Bob are typing at the same time and there's two messages.
We do that same time.
That's why I'm just like, well, I know the other two will message back, so I don't want to like... Get in the way.
Get in there. Just put Tis at the bottom.
People would hate it if I started messaging back.
Why? No, I wouldn't.
Because it would be so like short. Like, oh, thanks. Like, you two go to such lengths to have like decorum, but I'm just.
I think because I've got too much time.
Not to have decorum, just because I like talking to the listeners.
Yeah. I like talking to the listeners. I'm just terrible at doing it.
Nah,
I'm not suitable for human consumption. Much,
all right. Anyway, the email is unexplainableuk@mail.com.
facebook.com/
Oh, on facebook.com/
weirdtalesandexplainable.
Yeah, that's it.
So,
Acast.
Until next time, # Bob takes acid.
No.
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 Hashtag see you next week. Until next time,
Hashtag see you next week.
All right. Until next time, geometry you later.
Until next time, # beef takes acid.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.